In most large cities in the world today, it is not uncommon to be confronted with people begging for money. Even in small towns like ours, that is not uncommon. We often find it difficult to know exactly how we should respond. Some of those who are begging may have genuine need. Others may not. And we have a terrible fear that they're asking for money just to feed an addiction. Indeed, we've read about some ruthless men who may use children to do the begging for them. And we get confused when we see people in the street begging. But there was no question at all about the man who sat at the entrance to the city of Jericho begging. His need was real and immediate and obvious. The man was blind, and of course, because of his blindness, he couldn't work. There was no social security. The only way to keep body and soul together was by begging. There was no other source of income. What must it be like? What must it feel like to rely entirely on the generosity of passers-by, of strangers? Wouldn't it strip away your dignity? Wouldn't it leave you vulnerable? A forlorn figure sitting beside the road. But this day was to be the greatest day in this man's life. A turning point. A day when he received a gift like no other, far better than a bowl filled with gold coins. So we want to look through this record of what happened outside Jericho as a man sat begging by the roadside. First of all, let's look at the prayer of the blind man. The road into Jericho was very noisy that day, understandably because it's coming near the time of Passover, and crowds of pilgrims are making their way to the city of Jerusalem. And yet there must have been something in the way the crowds were behaving, in the way they were talking. It was really different and caught the attention of the blind man. His name, as we know from Mark's Gospel, is Bartimaeus. He was prompted to ask what was happening. And the crowd, as they answered him, didn't mention Passover, didn't mention pilgrimage. They simply told him what was most important and most significant that day outside Jerusalem. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That news immediately meant something to the blind man. He didn't have to ask any further questions about the identity of Jesus. It's clear that this man already knew. It seems that Bartimaeus must have heard about Jesus. He had no doubt he'd heard about the great works that Jesus had done, healing people just like him, as needy as him, showing compassion to people just like him. And so this was a wonderful moment for Bartimaeus, a great opportunity which may never come again. At the top of his voice, he makes his heartfelt request, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you notice the difference? The crowd say Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. They're using the local name. Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." He uses the messianic name. Because when he speaks of the Son of David, he is speaking of the one who is the Messiah. That's the Messiah's name. That's why actually the chief priests and the scribes were so indignant when little children praised Jesus in the temple, saying, "Son of David." The gospel tells us when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. These children were acknowledging Jesus as Messiah. So Bartimaeus had this awareness of Jesus. And it is to him as the promised Messiah that the blind man called for mercy. Long before Bartimaeus ever received his physical sight, he had seen in Jesus more than many other people had discerned. He saw him as the royal Son of David, the promised Messiah. So Bartimaeus is really expressing his faith here that all the resources of the kingdom of God are at Jesus' command. That's why he cries out in faith, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at an earlier incident or an earlier parable recorded in this chapter where another man made the same prayer, "Have mercy on me." Two words that sound the same but are different. The man in the temple, the publican, the tax collector who called out, "Have mercy on me," was using a word which had a very special meaning, as we noticed. He was asking for the mercy that would mean the turning away of God's anger and wrath against him as a sinner. He was using a word which is understood in the light of the cross, where judgment is made on sin and where there is mercy for those who trust in that saving work of Christ. The word that's used here is a different kind of mercy. It's the mercy of compassion, of showing pity. Mercy that is for specific and immediate needs. We need both kinds of mercy. We need the mercy which will deliver us from judgment. We need the mercy which will help us in times of need. So Bartimaeus cries out for mercy. And nothing could stop him in his cry. Those who led the way in the crowd rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Why did they act like that? It seems so heartless. Here's this poor man. Here's an opportunity he has to be helped. And they try to stop him. "Hold your tongue," they say. But nothing discourages Bartimaeus. And when you think about it, there were things which could have kept him from making his request to Jesus. His own status might have prevented him. He was, after all, a blind beggar. He had no status. He had no right to be heard. He wasn't a useful member of society. He could have let the attitude of people around have stopped him praying. They were saying, "Bartimaeus, you're a distraction. You're causing a nuisance. It isn't for a man like you to assume that he will be heard by Jesus." And Bartimaeus might have said, "Perhaps they're right. Maybe I'm being unrealistic in thinking Jesus will listen to someone like me." But faith overcame any such obstacles. We are to pray and not to faint. We are not to be discouraged as we bring our deeply felt and pressing needs to Christ. We're not to be put off by a cynical world which ridicules the very idea of prayer. We come with a sense of our own unworthiness. We come in exactly the way we were singing about as we began our worship. I am poor and nothing have. My God, your trusting servant, save. I don't have anything. I am undeserving. But I look in faith to the Lord. The crowd told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The royal king is not far from us. And he always has an ear that's open to hear needy people in the crowd. And there's always that opportunity, that privilege of bringing our needs to him. The prayer of the blind man. Secondly, let's notice here the mercy of Christ. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's really interesting here that the very people who are trying to keep the blind man away from meeting with Jesus are the people who are ordered to escort him to Jesus. What a marvelous scene that is. The crowds assumed that Jesus would not have time for a blind beggar. How wrong they were, and how clearly and marvelously and sovereignly it's demonstrated. Have mercy, cries the blind man. And Jesus has mercy. It's shown in several ways here, or we see it in several ways. We see his mercy because he stopped. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Now we must remember, when all of this is taking place, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, traveling, as he has just told his disciples, towards the cross to bear the sins of his people, to take the penalty that their sin deserves. A solemn journey. So solemn that the disciples, as we see here, were filled with a kind of apprehension. But at that moment, it is at that moment when his own heart, as one writer says, must have been heavy with sorrow, Jesus had time for a blind roadside beggar. The profound, tender care of the Lord is demonstrated marvelously. Jesus gave himself to people as individuals. Here's a huge crowd milling around, traveling towards Jerusalem. Crowds of people. And one individual is dealt with mercifully. Jesus still stops for those who call on him. He listens to their cry for mercy. And yes, he is, in that sense, passing by. Passing by as the word is preached. Passing by as the promises of the gospel are set out. Passing by as people gather to worship. He is near to all who call on him. Isn't that a marvelous thing to know? He shows his mercy by stopping. He shows his mercy by asking a question. What do you want me to do for you? When Bartimaeus was brought before Jesus, the Lord asked him this question. It sounds, in a way, almost unnecessary. And certainly Jesus knew what Bartimaeus needed most. But he wanted the blind man to ask. The question, you see, is not as obvious as it seems. Bartimaeus has just addressed Jesus as son of David. He has expressed his faith that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's what he's saying. That all the power of God's kingdom, therefore, belongs to him. Now, Bartimaeus, do you really, really believe that? Do you believe what it sounds as if you believe? How much does he believe that Jesus can do for him? Bartimaeus says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Yes, he does believe that Jesus has compassion and he has power. Isn't there great mercy then in the question? It isn't unnecessary, because Jesus is declaring his willingness to meet the great need of this poor blind beggar. And I think, is it not so, that when we come to the Lord in prayer, there is a sense, isn't there, that he asks us that question. What is it you want me to do for you? Do you believe I'm able to do it? You're praying. What is it you want me to do for you? Do you believe I can do it? Do you believe that he's able to meet your deepest need? Do you believe that he has mercy, compassion, pity for someone like you? What is the longing of your heart this morning? What is it that's weighing on your heart as you come to church this morning? What is weighing there? What is it that you want the Lord to do for you? He showed his mercy because he stopped, because he asked, then because he healed. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight." The great longing of Bartimaeus' heart was met. The same word, in fact, that Bartimaeus had used in his prayer. What is it you want, Lord, to receive my sight? Bartimaeus, receive your sight. The answer comes exactly as the prayer was made. One moment, total blindness. The next moment, unimpaired, 20/20 vision. Bartimaeus came with nothing but his need. And there is no other way to come for us either. And our needs are not the same as his this morning, but they are real. And the mercy and compassion of Jesus are unchanged. Seen because he stopped, because he asked, because he healed, and because he encouraged. Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. Now, faith is a gift. Faith is the gift of God. We believe because he enables us to believe. And yet Jesus says, Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. Jesus is encouraging this man to go on believing, to keep on trusting. Encouraged that faith continues, that his faith is genuine. The prayer of the blind man, the mercy of Christ. Finally, let's notice how the passage ends, the praise of God. Imagine darkness, blindness, and then 20/20 vision. Bright skies. brown paths, green fields. But beyond the initial joy and amazement, Bartimaeus commits himself to follow Christ and to praise God. He wants to be with the one who has been so kind to him. He wants to be in his presence. He wants to learn more of him, as Paul did, that I may know him. He's ready to follow Jesus as Lord. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I want to receive my sight. He's declaring his personal devotion to Christ as Lord. It is the pattern, isn't it? That's the pattern, simply put, of true discipleship. That's the pattern of true discipleship. Is it the pattern of our lives devoted to Christ's Lordship in every area with a longing, a desire to be with him, to know him more, to follow him obediently and gladly? Are we moved, as this man was, by a sense of our great indebtedness to give ourselves to the Saviour who is kind to us? It's very simple, isn't it? But it's very, very profound. This is discipleship. Moved by the kindness and grace we have known. Each time Jesus acted in miraculous power, it was another declaration that the kingdom of God had come. The kingdom is here. That's what was being announced when Bartimaeus received his sight, and all the crowd around heard this announcement in the miracle. The kingdom of God is here. And the purpose of the kingdom is that God is honored. So both Bartimaeus and the crowd join in the praise of God. And as we leave this scene, that's the note, and that's the focus of our thoughts. Bartimaeus has experienced God's power through his son, and he gives himself to living for God's glory. Let our lives be marked by that. Wouldn't it be really, really good if the praise of God was seen in us as clearly as it was seen in this blind beggar? And wouldn't it be good if that was the cause of other people also praising God? When all the people saw it, they praised God. Is that how you see your life's purpose? To glorify God and to lead others also to glorify him. This miracle fulfilled that great purpose. The kingdom of God is here. You can see it, friends, in this man's life changed and transformed. The kingdom of God is here. You can see it, friends, in this man who's been converted, in that man who's been walking with God since he was saved, in that young girl who's come to know the Saviour. You can see it. Bartimaeus and the crowd now knew more of Christ than they had before that day on the outskirts of Jericho. What do they know? They now know that all the power of the kingdom belongs to Christ. They now know that he is merciful and listens compassionately to the needy's cry. They know that he is indeed the Son of David, the Messiah, the promised Redeemer. Your faith, Bartimaeus, that faith, that's the faith that has saved you. You see, the word healed here, actually, interestingly, could just as well be translated saved. Your faith has saved you. He doesn't just receive sight. He knows and comes to know salvation. So is that your faith? Is that where your faith is resting this morning? In the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the promised and only Redeemer. In the Lord Jesus Christ, who is merciful to people like Bartimaeus and like us, out of the crowd, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save. It's faith like that which brings glory to God. Believe and honour him. Amen.